And then I opened, like, oh, here we go, here's Earthworm Jim. And it was Scuba Earthworm Jim. And it was just like, that's... He wouldn't fit on it because he had these flippers. So I was just like, oh, God. Like, it was just so close to being iconic, you know?
I'm going to be sick.
I felt like that. And then I remember saying to Mam that night, I was like, you know, Mam, I'm not really happy with what Santa got me this year. And she goes, well, I'm sure he tried his fucking best.
So it is, this is Christmas, our Christmas themed episode, and we've got a gift for you at home.
A gift for your ears.
A special guest.
Do you want me to do this?
No.
It's Tommy Bloody Campbell! It's very...
And Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Goddamn, son. Yes, we're finished up. Well, I'm finished up for Christmas anyway, hence the beers.
Yes.
So, and also, still no baby, although by the time this comes out.
Yeah, Terry's expecting literally any second.
Yeah, well.
Next probably by the time this goes out, the baby
should,
will
I should be
born.
A father by the time this comes out.
Amazing.
But it's...
Christmas miracle.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. But we're going to be discussing Christmas, and we thought, who better than a guy that is doing so much Christmas content at the moment?
2K.
Content creator Tony Cantwell.
Yeah. Content creator Tony Cantwell. It's the silly season. There's so much... I mean, it's great. I think November should be a December. It's just a waste of time even considering anything else but a December.
I was really enjoying your latest one on Christmas flicks.
Thank you very much.
What's the podcast title?
Tony Cantwell's Shit Show.
Oh, yes.
Yes. Yep.
Yeah. It's very enjoyable.
Thank you very much, lads.
If I may jump right in, because it got me thinking of Christmas films, because that's what your latest one is about.
Mm-hmm.
And I have here on my notes, I wrote notes, best movie.
Best Christmas movie.
Just straight up.
Best Christmas movie is Die Hard, mate.
Okay, well...
Just is. Best movie is Die Hard, probably.
It is the best Christmas movie. Well, Home Alone is the... I mean, Home Alone's best
and
movie.
I agreed with a lot of the points you're making about Home Alone. Obviously, the old man, it does get me at the end.
Oh, my God.
Cards on the table. I had a cry on the Lewis on my way over here.
You're crying all the time.
I watched... there's a film critic that... I read a lot of his stuff. His name's David Ehrlich, and he does a video compilation of the top 25 movies of the year.
I seen you tweeting it.
Yeah,
I watched a bit of it.
You didn't like it?
I was watching it on silent. I didn't know any of the movies.
You're
so frustrating.
I know. Watching it on silent, it's a video clip thing, and it doesn't have any sound of the movie, but he has songs underneath it.
Yeah.
So, like, when everybody was dancing around on that one, I was listening, they had, like, Circle of Life from The Lion King.
Yeah.
And it was like, fuck. So, you know that dance scene from Midsommar?
Yeah.
And she has her hands in the air.
Yeah.
It's the start of Circle of Life, and I was like, oh, I'm getting fucking hairs on my arm.
Yeah.
But I was listening to his one from last year on the way over, and it was... Somebody to Love by Queen playing underneath Paddington 2. And I was like, oh, I'm going to lose it. I'm sitting there in the
That's
lowest.
What did it?
Whoa. I haven't seen Paddington 2. I've heard it's incredible.
Perfect. Perfect.
I have heard it's a 5-star.
Perfect movie. Paddington is...
Perfect movie.
Paddington 2 is perfect screenplay. Watch it.
I'm going to be
sick. Everyone says it. Everyone's saying it.
Like, this is for later on. I'm jumping ahead here. But Paddington... We watched it last Christmas, Paddington 2.
Yeah.
And it's... Tears all around. Just
wow.
When you see Paddington, he's just little Paddington, like, and
I'm actually glad to hear this, and I was glad to hear that you were also welling up, Tommy, thinking about the old man.
Thinking about the old man.
Yeah. Not even watching it.
You don't have to be afraid. Even that.
I find I'm getting way more welly as I get older.
Mm.
Like, way more. But
as your world gets a bit narrower, and you're kind of like, it's just love.
Everything else has more resonance.
Yeah, it's just love.
Shit I didn't care about as a kid.
Yeah. I never cried at Home Alone. Like I was like, I would never even think, how would you cry at Home Alone?
Yeah.
When he puts his foot on the nail, like, I wouldn't understand.
Yeah, I know.
Ooh.
I'd have to say Home Alone too. Home Alone also.
Well, what I wanted to say was the bit that, like, takes me out of the movie almost is, you know, when he's doing all his planning and it's yes. like Operation Ho yeah. Ho Ho or whatever. I don't know if that's the second one. But he schedules himself to have dinner right when he knows they're going to show up at 9 o'clock or whatever. And he sits down to have dinner looking at the clock. And then he's like, oh shit, I can't go. Like you're talking about blue balls. I'm just like, have it at 5 o'clock.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Plus, it would have taken him hours to draw up the map alone. So let alone the amount of time it takes for him to set booby trap the entire house.
But that's how it worked so effectively house. Because yeah. he drew the map.
The map would have
You're
taken
an engineer,
him
Andy, you know that.
Don't bring that up.
I never get tired of bringing that up on the podcast.
It's just become a running punchline. Yeah. Yeah, it's like, hey, sir, you're an engineer. You can fix that. Okay.
Home Alone is a very close second.
I think Lethal Weapon is a great Christmas film, which is not.
I don't think I've seen Lethal Weapon.
Fuck! Off! This guy wants to start doing a movie podcast with me, and I'm like,
how great would that be? To get a reaction like that every week.
I
couldn't tell you one thing that happens in it though.
Have you seen any of the Home Alones? You've seen Loaded Gun. Weapons. You've seen Loaded Gun.
Loaded Weapon.
Yes. All over the place.
I'm just so fucking angry that you have not seen
Loaded Weapon.
No, I haven't. I've seen Loaded Weapon. Yeah. I can tell you what happens in Loaded Weapon before.
There's
Lethal
some
Weapon.
Unbelievable jits at the end of Lethal Weapon that didn't make sense in the 80s but makes sense now because jiu-jitsu is so popular.
Joe Pesci's in it, isn't he?
He's in two
and the rest.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah. I'd watch it to get to him.
I didn't actually realise until you elaborated that when you said jits, you meant jiu-jitsu.
Yes.
I was like, what are you
saying?
The biz. I think you mean gif.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
I've seen that Yoke, the movies that made us.
I didn't watch it yet.
Very good.
I haven't got around to watching it. It's on my list. I've put it on my list.
I don't really like the editing in it.
I love the editing in it. I think it's full of gags.
It's too much like, you know, wacky.
It's quick. Like, the guys are probably giving them nothing.
It's like they'll get one clip of someone going, yes. And then it'd be like, what did you think about it? Yes. And then 5 minutes later, and what was the answer from Hollywood? Yes.
Yeah, it's great. It's perfect. Like, well, you want to hear a boring producer just be like, we couldn't find
you get Dan Aykroyd in.
You want Robert Evans.
Wayne Knight. You
also don't want Dan Aykroyd. Him on Joe Rogan is like, don't let him go.
He's insane.
Don't let him go for too long.
He's an insane person.
I'm all in.
He's an insane person.
He's not very good.
He's not very well.
That's it.
He's not very good. I don't think he's very funny. I have to appreciate him.
See the trailer for the new Ghostbusters movie?
Yeah. What, Stranger Things?
Yes, exactly. Exactly.
I never said it was good. I just said, second trailer, they're going to hit you with all the fucking Ghostbusters.
I'll tell you exactly what's going to happen. It's going to be Starsky and Hutch-esque, where it's going to be another movie entirely, and then 10 minutes from the end, the original Ghostbusters?
Yeah, that's right, but guys. That's a good formula.
With Starsky. No, don't tell me they're in it. They're not in it.
They shouldn't be in it.
No, they shouldn't be. Or if they are...
Well, it's a sequel, though, so maybe, you know.
What?
It's a sequel.
This is?
It's like Ghostbusters 3.
Yeah.
It's not like the other Ghostbusters that was...
And have it in New York as well.
No.
100% have it in New York. That's the whole point.
There's nothing else. If you have it in New York, you're just going to compare it completely to this. This is a way of completely... No, but this is a way of like, you'd be like, eh, well, last time I was in New York, like, this is, it's, you know, it's like if Turtles 3, when they went back in time to ancient Japan had worked.
Yeah. Great idea.
You're just going to compare it to New York.
Do you remember that? I forgot about that.
That was great.
And I loved the
had all the Turtles figures as well. All the Japanese.
Had all the Japanese as well.
The samurai one.
Yeah.
Well, that brings us on nicely into, I have next on my notes, best toy. Best present.
Best present.
Christmas has passed.
Okay, can I say two?
No.
Okay,
sure.
I've got to pick between one. Two, best Christmas I ever had was I got GoldenEye in the N64.
Oh, I feel like we're going to sync up perfectly.
And I got Faith of Our Feathers, the CD, and I played it.
Oh, yes.
All fucking
what were the tunes that were on that? Was Christmas Tree on that?
No, that was Unplugged.
Was Lockhart?
No, that was Unplugged.
Spanish Lady was on Unplugged.
Faith of Our Feathers was...
Costa del Sol.
Yes.
Sure do.
We're a flying up the part of the news. Four young bulls set up on the loose. 50 quid between us, sure we'll all have a ball. Viva Costa del Sol.
Or Dog Ugly Turkey. Joe Dolan.
You haven't actually explained what this is.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. Well, most of our listeners are based in Ireland, but if you're not, it's a
very popular turkey puppet. who was really the face of Irish television in the 90s.
He hosted the Eurovision, for God's sake.
Like, and he was, yeah, and he had a string of
he was number one, Christmas number one Christmas in number Ireland.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, Tinkle was two years in a row.
I absolutely loved Dustin.
He had a song with Ronan Keating on that album as well. Like, Ronan Keating was in the song with him. Had a song that was a spoof of Where Do You Go to My Lovely.
That was great.
Where Do You Come From? You're Ugly.
You're ugly.
Sweet and sour curry paws.
The fact that he had a song.
Never Been to Mead.
Yeah, never been to Mead. I was Unplucked.
Unplucked? I think Unplucked was
fucking hell, yeah.
Unplucked was a banger. Like, that was in the
saying
the,
all this without irony is like, genuinely
the van. That was in the van when my dad would be driving us down to Rush or whatever, and I'd just be on all the time. Nice. Like, Lockhart.
Goldeneye, okay. And then, and what would yours be?
Similarly, well, there'd be games. I think the N64 have a better, more fonder time of a Christmas.
Yeah.
Nintendo just make unbelievable games.
They're fun.
They're fun, and they just totally get it. Like the way Nintendo, you know,
like the first Mario 64.
The first Mario 64, remember just from going like to Mario Brothers, and then it's like you're following Mario with the camera, and you're like, whoa, whoa, and then you can do a backflip over the camera, and it's fun. Yeah. What the fuck is going on? My head is just like taking the ayahuasca.
Even the bit at the start where it's like, oh, it's Mario's face, and you have a little hand.
You're pulling out
it. And then you can stretch his ear. Yeah.
Yeah.
Pull his bill down on his cap.
I forgot all about that.
Oh, it's amazing.
But for me, it would have been... it would be two games. One would be Final Fantasy VII, which I got at Christmas, which was just like... I just couldn't believe what I was seeing. And two Christmases as well, where I think I was just left alone just to play them. And until dinner was there, I didn't have to do all the pageantry. I was just like, cut the game, went into the room, played it, and was left there. And was like just weeping with excitement.
I kind of feel like with that game, I feel like a bit of a fraud with that game.
Sure.
Because I really loved the game. I loved the story. I loved the music. And I just still listen to... I was only listening to the piano renditions from Final Fantasy VII last week. Mm. But, like, I was shit at it.
Yeah, I know.
Couldn't get out of the desert. I didn't even finish disc one. Like, there was four discs of it.
But that's
me. You didn't
even
get a chocobo, no?
I think I got a chocobo and I got stranded in whatever the desert was. I don't know.
But this is me because I watched you play most of the games. Like, I often thought it'd be a fun stream to do, which is I beat all the games that you actually beat that I never beat, which was Mario. Never beat Mario. Never beat Sonic the Hedgehog. I never even beat Streets of Rage, Altered Beast. I watched you beat all these games. Like, those first two generations pre-PlayStation 1 and N64. I watched you beat, so I would actually like to finish them off.
Those games were very hard to beat, though, as well, because
they were.
If you die, like, there's no save. There's no save game. Like.
Remember actually getting a memory card was a big deal. Like, you can go back, you can turn it off, and you turn it back on, and it's where you live.
I think that's why you were better at that, because you actually are more committed to finishing things. Like, you actually do have a much stronger...
Certainly was back then. Yeah.
No, but like, you don't... I was like, no, it's gotten to that point now where I have that feeling in my back and the neck that I don't like, which means it's hard,
it's
out the fucking... But the game that actually I have the fondest Christmas memory of is WrestleMania 2000.
Yeah.
For the N64.
Because I was going to say NWO Revenge, but I remember all time playing Revenge, it was like...
I wish it was WWE.
I wish they had a WWE one. Yeah. And WrestleMania 2000 was the one.
And then I remember like just playing... I remember the first thing, it was like I picked Chris Jericho. Because he was the hottest shit then. That was just Y2J. I think he's even hotter now. Like. But he just showed it, and I remember playing it, and I was like... It was like the worst sounding thing, like, and it was like, oh my god, and I just
literally
couldn't.
Got like a square for the face, and the head is all blocky.
Yeah, and he's like,
I know.
Your arms out.
I would love for them to be able to make a game that plays like that now, but just looks smoother.
Didn't you say that THQ?
I've heard that THQ might be doing the AEW game.
Well, I've just today, after much. Much research got Fire Pro Wrestling World for the PS4.
Right.
Bless you. And that is a Japanese based game, but like and it doesn't look very good. It kind of looks like No Mercy, but more 2D. But it is apparently the densest game. Like, it's all based in New Japan and stuff like that. It's made by a Japanese company, but you can download every wrestler, and they have really put in every move. And this is like a, it's proper, like it gets the whole ebb and flow of a match. It gets, it even has like a breathing thing to get your stamina back and celebrating and stuff. And it, and it, it's more timing based than kind of reversal based. And I only played it for like half an hour today, and I think it's brilliant.
Really? Yeah. That was a great thing about those games where you would
and
get
it's on your sale now on PS4 store. Just
you know. Nice. Mm-hmm. Christmas coming.
Was it you who told me about
it? Did you not get it?
I want it because I've been ordering so much stuff online lately that I've
like know. There's a game you can get where it's all the Sega games on it for the PS4. So you can
get 30 quid was it?
30 quid or something like that, and you get like Sonic 1, Sonic 2, Sonic 3, Streets of Rage 1, 2, blah blah blah, all the sort of classic ones there. You can get on the Switch as well.
Me and Terry have a bit of a back and forth about he's a Nintendo man. And I was a Sega man.
Go on.
No, well, I just think Sega had a bit more edge, as I said previously. Nintendo was a bit too.
Have you ever read
Girl Scout Cookie? Fucking.
You watch your mouth.
But that's what all games were before that. And Sega kind of, I'm reading this, The Console Wars.
Oh yeah, I've heard of this book.
And it's incredible. Fucking Seth Rogen and Evan Goldberg are turning into an HBO miniseries.
No way.
Yeah, yeah. About the rivalry, because Sega were tiny and they were able to, like, at the time Nintendo had 90% of the video game market with the NES, and then by coming out with the Master System and then the Genesis, they were able to get to like 40% and all these kind of weird, it was just this incredible corporate president who was able to like do broker all these deals, but then at the expense of that also opened the floodgates for things like Mortal Kombat and kind of these more kind of violent games. But Nintendo's ethos in terms of making games was just far, and still is far superior. Yeah. I would even say, like, last year, 2018, had a Switch, left it on a plane, devastated about it. Don't talk about it too much.
Last time, actually. Yeah,
yeah, but like, within 1 year, you had Super Mario Odyssey, the Zelda game.
Odyssey looks amazing.
And Mario Kart, like the upgraded version. And those three games are probably my top three games of the decade. Wow. And they're all on the Switch within the same year. Nintendo just make unbelievable games.
They finally brought... I've played Mario Kart on the iPhone.
It's very easy, though.
It is very... like
you win every time.
Joni comes first every time. And I'm not saying that.
So does Faye. I'm not saying that. Know.
But you know what I mean. They shouldn't be winning every time. You know what I mean? But yeah, so there's that. Okay, now I've got another item on my list.
What about you? What was your present?
Oh, yeah. There was a year, I think it was GoldenEye, and I think I got Revenge. Our parents were divorced, you know.
Get two gifts.
So I got GoldenEye Revenge, and I got a lava lamp.
Oh, yeah.
Remember that green lava lamp? And I just literally spent the whole time just in my room was now the coolest bedroom in Charlemont. And I had the lava lamp. I think I had a foosball table on one side. But I just remember that whole time was like, I got Revenge. I was the best at it among all my friends. It was just the thing. It was just like, you just knock on the door.
Those
like,
are the best
things. You coming out, and then we'd create our own titles, all this sort of stuff.
We would sit around, there'd be eight of us in my front room, and we'd be playing for the tag titles. So there'd be like, you know, whoever was winning, there'd be six other people, and you would try different combinations, whatever. It's like, so say there'd be six of us there. If it was your turn next, you get to choose who you want to play with or whatever like that, and then challenge the two guys. And then if they win, it keeps going around. We spend fucking hours doing that. Like
8 hours.
Somebody's good with Bradshaw, somebody's good with Kane. Throw them in together, and it's like, oh, watch it for the clothesline.
I lost my fucking world title. I was Goldberg. I lost my world title on a spear reversal.
Oh, into the
I remember that. Like,
yeah. And then it just tapped me like, I meant red. I couldn't. And everyone's like, he lost. And I was like, like, I couldn't believe it.
Everybody out.
My title. Get out of my house.
Everybody out. I said, I got out.
I don't think I've screamed more at even a sport, like any sport, than when we'd be playing that. Because it would be like, but the nature of it with the reversals and everything, it would always be a good match.
You know,
even when it was someone just like showing off, because they would show off and they just like decimate someone, like powerbomb after powerbomb, like stop. Put them onto the table.
He's already dead. Right, I've got worst toy. Is there anything that you ever got and that you were like, ah?
I tell you, it's more that like I wanted some sort of board game, and obviously my parents couldn't get it or it wasn't there. I used to always ask for board games before I had computer games, and instead they got me
simpler times.
Yeah, I know, right? They got me Shark Attack Bowling.
What's that?
And I always remember being like, oh. I was like, Santa ran out of whatever you asked for. I can't even remember what I asked for. But it was like, he got you this. And it was like, okay, so you set up the pins, which are fish. And then you have the shark, which is the bowling ball. Yeah. And you pull it back and let it. And it's like, and then like knocks over the pins. I hope my parents aren't listening to this. Yeah, I doubt they are. But that was something that I always remember being like, oh, okay. Yeah.
Great.
Happy Christmas.
I got a skateboard, but it wasn't like one of the good ones. It was like the big wide ones with the little wheels. I was like, that's no good.
I got
an electronic drum machine, remember that?
Oh yeah.
And like, I didn't like it. It didn't work properly. You'd hit the pad and it wouldn't go.
Yeah.
My dad, he'd be like, no, he doesn't like it. Like, oh, you do like it. Yeah.
I remember that thing.
I didn't like it.
He gave it a good chance, though.
That was for his benefit. When he left, I didn't play.
Yeah. In the bin.
Piece of junk. What about you?
I remember I got Earthworm Jim's pocket rocket. You know, the thing you would get on?
Yeah.
And then I opened, like, oh, here we go. Here's Earthworm Jim. And it was Scuba Earthworm Jim. And it was just like, he wouldn't fit on it because he had these flippers. So I was just like, oh God, like it was just so close to being iconic, you know.
I'm gonna be sick.
I felt like that. And then I remember saying to Mom that night, I was like, Mom, I'm not really happy with what Santa got me this year. And she goes, well, I'm sure he tried his fucking best.
She was so angry at me.
And rightfully so, like, I mean, yeah, fucking would. Hell.
The amount that we got.
Like, yeah. I know. Too much, though. I couldn't take it all in.
Even yeah, like, that's true.
It,
like,
was it Christmas or was it your birthday that you got the wrong gremlin?
I got it for Christmas and then we had to wait.
Gizmo, it was the other one.
It was the other one. But I actually really liked it. But yeah. I was like,
you could turn it inside out. So you turn it one way, it's the cute gremlin. Yeah. You turn it from the back the other way, and it's the one after midnight.
And then we're like, oh, well, we'll go into the shop and get the other one. Then
just like that.
And I was like, oh, brilliant, I've got two of them
Classic.
Now. Classic. Goddamn spoiled brats.
Oh, my God.
In your fucking gated community up the road.
We really were. I mean, it's funny, because you only lived about 15 minutes away from
we were on the bread line.
It was another world. But I think I've talked about it before, that like, I still think about them. I used to have these nightmares about Santa, right? I don't know whether it was a thing of like, oh, he won't. And I'm conscious now when I'm doing it to Joni. I'm like, oh, he only comes if you're asleep or something. Like, it just doesn't sound right when I'm even saying it. I'm like, oh, but it's, you know, like, I'm trying to lighten
the mood. It's fine, don't worry. Like,
because I was told, all right, but you have to be asleep or you won't leave your presents or whatever. Yeah. So I'd have a dream that like I'd see Santa and I'm like, oh, and I'd be like,
shoot you,
and I'd try and go to sleep. Yeah. And then he'd come into the room and I'd be like, and I'd open my eye and he'd be like, huh? He's like, you're gonna sleep.
And I'd be like, ring the bell. He's not asleep, everybody.
I still think about it. You're not asleep. I'm terrified. I'm now five.
God.
Oh, Jesus.
God almighty.
But yeah, it's not realistic.
Me and Mam and Terry, my wife, were having some wine and we were talking about that, and she was talking about the bad Santa and how terrified you were, and then at the end she was just like, and it went on for years, and you know, I kind of think maybe there was someone sitting on his bed. That's the only way it could have happened, you know, for him to be that terrified.
I don't know if it was because she used to say, because the room that in Donegal was like, she'd like, oh, there was rosary beads on the door of one of the bedrooms when we moved in.
Yeah.
And like babysitters could hear like footsteps like across
the floor. Like, Mr. Marbles?
She's like, maybe you did. So, like, you did see someone, you know, in there. But
When did you find out that Santa wasn't real?
I found out.
How did you find out?
Okay, I'll tell you how I found out. No, exactly how I found out.
You're not asleep.
I knew then. I was getting a bike off Santa, I thought, and my dad, we were going shopping with my dad, I'm so gullible, like, my dad was like, he's like, oh, we'll just go and see which type of one you want so you can tell Santa or whatever.
But sound logic.
Yeah, and the shop was called Mike's Bikes, it was in Blackrock, and I was like, all right, yeah, grand. And so the one I want, magically the exact one that I picked was the one that was there. And a few months later I was cycling home from school and I looked down on like the handlebar and there was like a sticker on it that said Mike's Bikes on it. I was like, Like, I cycle down so fast. Like,
scream.
Is he real? Is he real?
Throw your bag down, like, slamming the door.
This is unbelievable. But I remember specifically, and I didn't even question it. I was like, there was a present under the tree in Dad's once, and it was like a big rectangular box. It turned out to be like a little telescope thing. And I remember, like, then the next morning, like, I seen it. It's like, oh, this one's for me. And I said to Dad, I was like, I'm sure I seen this under the tree yesterday. And he's like, oh, did you? And that was it. Like, I was like, oh, whatever. Yeah. I was like, yeah.
Ripping up the wrapping paper. You always just played it cool.
Didn't give a shit, like, you know. But yeah, anyway. But how about you?
I just always remember being in school at like 8 or 9 or whatever. What age were you when you're in fourth class? So like
fourth class
or third class, third or fourth class,
11, like. 10.
Okay, yeah. So around that then maybe, and it was like everybody talking about like Santa not being real,
mm-hmm.
And it's like there was. I remember there was some like I sort of kept my mouth shut about it, and then there was one boy who kept saying, "No, he is real." I can't even remember his name. But he's like, still he real, and then I was like. Oh, so he's not real. This guy is the only one that believes it. Like, but also then I was kind of saying to him when we'd be walking, you know, where you had to walk up the stairs in twos.
Yeah.
And I'd be like walking beside him, and I'd be like, I still believe in Santa. Like, just as well, just to like
give him a
little, give him a little like. But then I remember shortly after that, like before Christmas, coming home, and the game I'd asked for was like Donkey Kong Country or something on the SNES. And I found it in a bag. I was like, oh, what's in this bag? And I found it in a bag. And then I was like, oh, okay.
Well, now, that seals it.
So I put it back, and then like I couldn't actually live with the guilt. I had to like say to my mom, I found that present you got me or whatever. Like that. She fucking freaked. She was like, what are you doing going through my stuff? Christmas. And that was right. That was a teachable moment where I grew up. I became a man.
That very moment.
Yeah,
it's so mad though, the fucking guilt that you feel for something like that. As a kid.
I tell you
whereas
now,
I'd be like, "Oop, don't tell them about that."
3 years later, I would have been like, "Not a chance. Not opening my mouth. Like, keep it zipped."
The innocence. Like.
Yeah, yeah.
But how about you? As if I don't know.
All right.
As if I don't know.
Well, similar thing. I was in school and I heard lads were like talking about how they didn't believe in Santa and Santa wasn't real. So I went home that night and I was like, "Mom, you'll never guess the nonsense I heard in school today. These guys were saying Santa wasn't real." And she looked at you and you looked at me. And I was like, "Isn't that crazy?" And I, like, I grabbed my lunch, sat down in front of the TV. Boom, sitting there. And my mom came over and she's like, "Someone tell you." I'm like, "Hmm?" He's not real. Santa's not real. And I was like, and I'm still smiling, and I start crying, like my tears aren't welling up. And I was like, "Well, I know you're joking, so." Well, I know you're joking.
So heartbreaking. So,
and I was like, "I'm not." And I was like, clearly crying. I'm like, "Nope, I know you're joking, so just don't even." And then it got to a point where my mom was like, "I was like, I know you're joking." And then it got to a point where she was like, "Okay, I am joking. He is real." And she went back.
I know.
She rescinded for a whole year. And then I said, "Well, why did you lie?" And she goes, "Because I'm a horrible person."
I remember specifically afterwards, after she came out, I was like, "Why did you say that?"
I can't believe you came.
Oh my god, she's just the softest, sweetest woman.
Yeah, she is. Yeah.
But and then so I kind of milked it for another year, and then I think I still believe in the tooth fairy. That's how fucking stupid I was.
Because you got money.
Because
like,
I got well, yeah. You keep it up because like whatever, tooth gone missing, and then
I'll keep up with this charade.
And then I think our cousin Tony was babysitting us, and I lost a tooth, and I was all like, "I'm not gonna say it to Tony. I'm not going to say it to anyone." I left the tooth under the pillow, and then no cash. And I was like, "Right, next morning, tooth fairy real?" She goes, "No. Santa real? No. Grant." And that was it. And we were fine. We moved on.
Is God real?
You're not going to like this next one.
Right. Well, look, I've got it. It's not even really a game.
Sounds shite then.
Yeah. All right. Well, let me just read what I got here. Yeah. Right, because you're a movie buff.
Sure am. Sure is.
Tony, you're a self-professed movie date buff.
Yes. What?
Oh,
yes, I know the years.
Yeah, you know the years. Apparently. So we're going to put that to the test.
Ears, by the way. When I was listening to your podcast.
Like, I know my ears.
You know your years.
I know my ears.
So, I've got a few movies, and I want you to give me the year.
Okay.
All right.
Sure.
Two, Terry. I've got a little marker here.
All right. So how does this work, though? Does
just it go give to, me the year.
Does it, buzz? Does it go to Tony first, and then if he gets it wrong, goes to me, or what way?
I hadn't thought that far ahead, but just both shout it out. All right, I guess.
Okay.
Okay.
This is going to go right. Well.
I'm going to start with a tricky one.
Sure.
It's a Wonderful Life.
52.
I'm going to say 56.
Right, it's 46.
Fuck off.
So you're both wrong there to the gex on tough. That. Now, a movie that I've never seen, but apparently it's popular, National Lampoon's Christmas 86. Vacation. Wrong. Let me finish the sentence.
Wrong. Let me see.
Did you see it?
Yes.
I watch it every Christmas.
Do you feel like there's loads of movies that we haven't seen that everyone's seen as a child?
Nope.
I'm going to say 84.
Okay, it's what did you say? You said 84, didn't you?
I said 86.
No, it's 89.
What?
Oh.
Oh my god.
Play at home, by the way. It's a riveting game. Okay, Home Alone.
89.
90.
It's 90.
Oh!
The one for T. Oh.
TC maybe?
Whatever.
That's so. Toner.
Okay, possibly the greatest Christmas movie of all time, The Santa Claus.
96.
Oh, both wrong. 94.
Fuck off. 94. That's years of World Cup. This is wrong.
That's insane. Wrong. It's not 94.
It's 94. It's not 96.
You're
might have went into production in 94.
You're looking at something
released. Released in home video in Ireland, 96.
Scrooged. Yeah.
88.
87. 88.
Oh, well.
Yes, hand it to me here.
Oh, well. Miracle on 34th Street.
Which
and I'll
one?
Accept both of them. I'll accept either one. So if you think
you're 93.
93?
I was going to say 93. But if we go back to the other one.
It's okay, like, well, 93 is wrong. So oh. Nip that in the bud. It's 94.
I was going to say, like, 23.
1923.
Yeah.
1923.
45.
49.
Okay, it's 47, but that's close.
19. Who's got a point for that? The first movie ever.
Oh my god, there's a train coming at the screen.
There's a big man, a big white man.
Muppet's Christmas Carol.
92.
5. It was 92.
Oof.
Tell you what. Living up to your mantle here now.
Mm-hmm.
Then goes Mr. Humbug.
Nightmare Before Christmas.
Now, hold on.
95.
I'm going to say 94.
It's 93.
I remember because I had diarrhea when I went to see it.
And I only had diarrhea that year.
I remember being very unwell when I went to see it.
94. Okay. Elf.
2006. 7, I guess.
2003.
Bollocks.
I was going to go 2002.
Last one.
I only got one right.
No, you didn't, no.
I need to get one right.
Gremlins.
89.
91.
Gremlins 1.
87.
Care to change my answer?
Yeah, you can change. You're more close to Gremlins 2 with that. I'll give you that.
Oof. Here. Okay, 85.
It was 84.
Ugh.
So... That riveting game has Tony on 3.
Still not great.
Out of 10. And Terry on...
Is there round 2?
Fat 0.
Well, when it was buzzing in, if you give me a chance to think...
Yeah.
I gave you a chance. I didn't rush you.
But we were buzzing in. Come on, we were...
Right, well, that's all I've got.
Well,
that's all you've got.
That's all Abby.
I've got in my notes. Yeah. So
Christmas is ruined.
So where do we go from here, you know?
Well, I wanted to pivot. Because, Tony, you did an episode on your show about the toy show recently. And... I agreed with an awful lot of what you said. I think that Ryan Tuberty has a very hard job.
Sure.
I thought this year was his best year, definitely.
I agree. Time. And arguably, I'd say then the best year anyone's done because the other were Shower.
Gay Byrne was always good. Like.
I disagree.
He was good compared to the robot that was Pat Kenny.
I mean, obviously compared to the robot, but I mean, he had good kind of banter and stuff, but he was always very cold and very closed. And
I don't agree. I find Tuberty, I'm like...
When he makes fun of the kids.
But when he's there with the kids, when I was watching that one, I was like, careful, because he's like, come here, like, and dragging out them. And I'm like, you're going to hurt them. Like,
he's got two kids. His kids are durable. He knows that.
I don't think he likes kids.
Well, that's the funny premise.
He's trying to, like, wink, parents. Isn't this little fuck an idiot? Like,
it's a difficult thing to play to both people. You know?
Play to the kids.
I always remember Gay Byrne having a bit of warmth compared to the other two. Like,
Why? That's a controversial opinion now.
I think it is.
I think whenever you see him like chatting to like, I feel like when Boyzone come on, he thinks they're a laughing stock because he thinks they're gay. I'm just going to say that. I think mm-hmm. because he thinks that they're homosexual men, mm-hmm. and he makes them a laugh. And I think,
right, okay.
And I think, and I think as well,
we're going to be cancelled.
And I think the way he's treated Sinead O'Connor over the years is sacrilege.
I don't know anything about that.
Just, elaborate there for the people just, at home. I know what you're talking about.
Just he's quite kind of bullish to what she says. Very, 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 very mansplainy. You know, acts like she's a freak every time she's on.
Is gay now? I'm not saying he's this dead. Because yeah, I know he's dead. I'm not saying this because his name is gay. Was Gay Byrne gay?
No,
because he had the sort of aura of a homosexual man. Can I say that?
No.
Okay.
No.
Rescinded.
Bleep that out.
I think you know it's great when someone's able to do a job consistently for so long. He's done fantastic stuff for road safety. I think people's attitudes towards drink driving are completely off the back of his kind of very you know almost self-funded campaigns to get people to change that. But I don't think he's. I mean,
he didn't have the warmth.
Just because, just similarly to like you know, well, no, I was going to say similar to slavery in the Civil War. Just because something becomes outdated and you're the first person to say it does not make you progressive. It just means that you're the first person to say it. So if you're looking at reeling in the years, he's not like he was like, you know,
like Mr. Rogers.
No, he wasn't. You know, and he's fine. Like,
yeah. I always liked him, but
me too.
I
always liked him. I just don't think you know.
I haven't seen recently a Gay Byrne toy show since I was a kid.
Yeah, so great banter with Dustin. I'll give him that much.
Yeah,
he was a great straight man to Dustin.
He was a very good straight man to Dustin.
Somebody I can't stand.
Like
I don't think he's actually.
I don't like him on the regular lately. You know, I find.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, I don't like him on the regular.
He's waiting for his thing.
Well, I don't dislike him. I don't dislike.
There has to be somebody better. There has to be like Ray Darcy is no good either. On his, it's
Graham Norton's the best, but he's hopped chip.
But I used to think, you know, you have people who have these roles and are like they come from like a journalism background or something like that, and then they go into presenting, and then they go into like you know hosting and stuff like that, and they're probably better. I always thought, oh, you should get a comedian on there. Like Tommy Tiernan's show is great.
I was about to ask you
if you like that, do you?
Yeah.
If somebody asked you
now... Well, I just think Tommy Tiernan's a good interviewer and he's quite pensive and quite thoughtful.
If someone asked you now to host your own talk show, would you do it?
Depends where it was going. I think you could do it on a stream now and that's the way it should be going.
Mm.
Outside the control of everyone else. I was saying that, I did say this on my podcast. I did like a radio show and...
It's tough, isn't it?
It's tough because you're just trying to do... You're trying to confine everything to little bite-sized pieces, which means that you don't really... You piece of shit. Which means you don't really get to get much personality across. And also, it's much smaller personality for a pretty much corporate message to fewer people. I don't get any benefit over what we're doing here. Your listenership is bigger than a lot of county radio stations for the day.
Right.
Like it is. So
makes me feel good.
Somebody asked me recently because I told him about podcasts and he was like, oh, listen to it. I thought it was great. And he's like... And I told him, you know, I did my degree in radio or whatever. That's what I did in college.
Comes across.
And, no, thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
But he asked me, why is most radio shit? Like, that. Like he thinks, you know, he's driving down to Sligo or whatever the weekend, and he's like, it's just sort of...
I can't tolerate it.
Yeah.
And he said, got a new car on the basis that my Spotify broke in the micro, and I got a car loan and got a new car because I couldn't tolerate it.
But he asked me, why is it? And I said, he's like, if it's such a small knit community, why is it like so limited in personality almost? And I was kind of saying, I remember having to go to 98FM as part of my work experience and sitting with Barry Dunn, and he was there, this guy who... used to be like a sort of late night DJ, and he was DJing in clubs and all, and at the moment he was doing the sort of drive time thing, and it was just
like Don Imus Private Parts. What the fuck is Howard Stern doing outside my fucking office?
Fuck off. And that's Barry there, you'll be in with him later on. Why don't we just bring you down to the offices here? But it's literally like he's saying he doesn't choose any of the songs.
Yeah.
He's sitting there with his, you know, waiting for, okay, that's three songs he has to come on.
Yeah.
Or he's making his phone calls.
And all the producers pretty much have the script.
Yeah, and it's just, okay, he has to hit his beats and do that. And then sort of, you know, that's what it is. And it was like when we were doing the local radio station in college, a part of our first year project, we used to do it in Ballyfermot.
Mm.
You do the local radio station. And it was like, you felt under immense pressure, first of all, because you had the reins and it was your first thing, and you had to get sponsors, do your sponsors. But again, you're so constricted for time.
Mm.
And when you have a live mic in front of you, it's a bit different here because we're not going out live.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So like,
and it can be as long or as short.
Exactly. With this thing here, we kind of had to get everything through and sort of make sure that you're on topic, like, and stay focused. Whereas here we can sort of go off down a rabbit hole or whatever like that.
I do wonder,
like,
what radio will be like in like 15 years, because it'd be like TV. I like the fact that like football's on Amazon Prime and stuff. That's the last thing to finally get over.
Yeah.
And delighted if that happens. But well, you don't get
it's all on demand. You don't get on Amazon Prime for Ireland.
We don't. Yeah, I know. So but they'll eventually have it.
But it's just I think you're right that it's a very sort of interesting thing to sort of talk about, that it's like.
Mm.
It's such high pressure stress for a sort of low
yield.
Low
yield. But I think it's like satellite radio, where it's just like it's more varied options, and the people who listen to it will listen to it and be able to listen to it from any you know, this, you know, it'll
terrestrial
be
or
terrestrial or even like have something like this going out 24/7, you know, and that people just be able to jump in at a part of it. I mean, there's an element of radio where it's like you can jump in at any point and just
we did that, a radio marathon for a part of fundraising, where it's literally 24 hours and people, like, you say, okay, my shift is over, somebody's coming it was very fun.
I'd love to do that.
And very, it's the guy, the guy who was
just us two, like
hour 10
What's very frustrating is there's no easy way of live streaming audio for whatever reason. I think it's something to do with the last kind of bastion that radio has, or music have, or the fact that, you know, it's not as easily sponsorable or whatever like that. But
can I ask you, right, because now I'm conscious of the time, I won't keep you long now.
Not at all.
But you've recently started your
lock
own
the doors
lock the doors. You've recently started. Why aren't you pouring that in front of the mic?
Because I'm not a jackass.
You know how we operate here. excuse me. You started your own podcast, Tony Campbell Shit Show. What was the sort of reason for doing it, and for doing it like by yourself?
I think I had done things. I had done things where I was just talking on a mic by myself, and I personally do think that I like listening to it back. And I think, I always think that's whatever a good test of something is, if I would listen back to it and give myself a chuckle with it.
I have to say, I absolutely love the solo stuff as well. Like when you used to do that fucking, those Facebook lives and like boners, shut in, whatever. Like I look like all that sort of stuff where it's just like, or like the Midnight Hour with Daddy Brown. Are you going to do that again at all?
Yeah, I think I will. And I think it's probably the start of a different thing that is just kind of audio based. And you know, I'd love to do radio, but I'd love to do it where it's just like, you have the spot, like, you know, where
you can do what you want.
It's freedom. Like,
exactly. Yeah. Like, I mean, you listen back to the XFM episodes with Ricky Gervais and Stephen Merchant, Carl Pilkington, their podcast, because they had free reign to do whatever they wanted.
Yeah.
So if that was something and that was an option. But I think with, like, you know, sponsored thing, for you to be able to do it every single week, I just think it's something else I'd like to.
Yeah.
I enjoy doing medium. and talking shit about. But I do want to get into the streaming as well. Yeah. And doing like live video, like game Twitch streaming. And stuff. Yeah, but also do like morning, like I want to do like a morning show on Fridays. Like I'd love to have it between 7:30 and 9.
Unreal.
On the way to your work, you can watch this alternative to like GMTV or Good Morning or whatever. Where I'd just be there, you know, and get people Skyping in from their bed and stuff like that.
That's
and just
an amazing idea.
And then, and it'll pay for itself. Like you just be like, and it'll be the odd like £2. I thought that was funny. Look, there's £2. That's a coffee that I wouldn't buy otherwise. Blind Boy's Got the Great Mentality breaks it down very simply. It's £2. It's a coffee, whatever.
That's what
it is
we use on this podcast for our Patreon.
That's great. It's taken off.
Yeah. It's going well.
It's in its infancy. Like,
yeah. Tony was telling me a great way to get some good enamel pins.
Oh yeah. Okay. Somebody asked me about my pin today.
It's a lovely pin.
I must give you a pin.
Oh, I'd love a pin.
I've only got 2-3 left. We got another Patreon patron signed up there the other day. Thank you, Mark.
We actually haven't thanked any of our patrons. Yes, apart from Mark there.
Do these bonus ones go out on Patreon?
No, they're free.
Everything goes out on Patreon. Next year we'll do some more exclusive stuff, I guess. We want to start a podcast where I watch all the Marvel movies and then we discuss them.
I think there's money in that. I'll probably hate them takes.
And he'll hate that I don't get it. And I just think it's already funny. The concept has me laughing, so I think that's a good idea.
Yeah.
But
let me know what you think of Hulk.
Ang Lee's Hulk.
I don't get the joke. Why are you laughing? Is that worse than the rest of them?
Those two lads over here.
Right. Well, look, we'll wrap it up a little bit here, unless there's anything more to add.
No, it's been a delightful conversation.
Yes, thank you very much, lads. Yeah, thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Where can people find you? What have you got going on?
Got a nice little tour kicking off in February and March. Tony Canfield Pure Gras Tour, and it's going to be in Galway and Limerick and all over the place. I'm not going to listen.
Nice. Where can they find information?
I'm Tony Horror on all the soch, on Instagram and Twitter and nice. Facebook and all those bits, and also Tony Campbell's Shit Show, the podcast that I've started, and
would highly recommend.
And also, do you know what you could do me a favor with? Literally everyone listen to this, right? If you right now your phone could go onto YouTube and type in Tony Cantwell and add me on YouTube, because they are difficult. That's a difficult
platform to crack.
But I will. That's where I will be streaming, and that's where I'll be like streaming in character, playing games and stuff like that.
Delighted you're using YouTube and not Twitch, so I can.
Yeah,
I would have to pay to see it.
Yeah, well, I did a trial run yesterday where I was driving around GTA just doing taxis. As the Frenchman, you know, I'm just being like, you know, where are you from? Nah, where are you really from, man? And just going around, and it felt great.
GTA is the perfect game to do that with. As well.
Yeah, like, so that's perfect. A great idea. And then I can do like a J1 simulator with Plume walking up and down the beach. You know, it just writes itself.
Brilliant. Yeah. All right. And as for ourselves, you can find us on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, Put in H Podcast.
Email us at putinhpod@gmail.com. In terms of content, this is going to be going out Christmas. Christmas week. And then.
Might be a bit of a break.
Yeah, I mean.
The offices are closed, essentially, so we can't get in to record.
And, you know, we both have stuff going on.
If you want to. Check us out on Patreon. It's patreon.com/putitinh, and
says, you know, it's Fiverr. You'd be really helping us out in terms of defraying the cost of running this thing.
Indeed.
And then in the new year there will be a big content trickle coming down the line.
And obviously if not, you're more than welcome to listen for free.
Yeah. Keep us any 5-star review or any
A review would be great. I haven't had a good review in a while. So shoots us up the charts. I don't know how. I don't understand it.
Yeah, me neither.
The last time you were on, Tony, we got to number 7 in the charts. Oof. I don't understand how it works. I'm pretty sure you were directly involved. I just don't quite know how. But we're figuring it out.
Got that real Cantwell rub. The good Cantwell.
And I would also be remiss if I didn't plug my own partner, Kerry's podcast, who has started a podcast on The Handmaid's Tale with their sister Shannon, and it's quite funny from what I've heard, and if you're into that, check that out.
What's the name of the podcast?
Handmaid's Aftertale.
There you go. Where can they find it?
Everywhere. I put it up personally, so find it on iTunes and SoundCloud. And
Merry Christmas to everybody.
Merry Christmas.
Yeah. You know what we never asked? What was the best Christmas song? Quickly.
Christmas Baby Please Come Home by Darlene Love.
The one John Bon Jovi does.
Excuse me?
Sorry, I had a bit of stroke there.
I'm gonna say Chris Rea.
Driving on Christmas.
Yeah, Driving on Christmas is number one.
Okay, fine. We'll play that next.
I'm driving home for Christmas. See those faces. I'm driving home for Christmas, yeah. Well, I'm moving down that line, and it's been so long, but I will be there. I sing this song to pass the time away. Driving in my car, driving home for Christmas. It's gonna take
but soon there'll be a freeway. Yeah. Get my feet on holy ground. So I sing for you, though you can't hear me when I get through. And feel you near me. I'm driving home for Christmas. Driving home for Christmas with a thousand memories. I take a look at the driver next to me. He's just the same. Just the same. My feet.